We kick off hour number two, Monday edition of Three and Out. You know, the picks came out from SEC Media Day.
That's right. Also, some breaking news this morning on Tennessee's Vol for Life coordinator, C.J. Faiton.
Really?
Yeah. He resigned.
How come?
No one knows.
Take another job?
Move it up? I don't know.
All right. Well, there was, you know, there was a lot of Tennessee on the all-SEC teams and everything.
Oh, really?
No, not really.
Oh.
They were like, I think Callaway got a kick return nod or something, and I think that was it.
Yeah, second team specialist.
Second team specialist. So that's something.
Trey Smith was on the first team last year, correct?
I don't remember.
I think so. So other than that, I mean, this has to be the first time in the history that there hasn't been a Vol on offense or defense. Or feels that way.
Surely. Three teams? I thought Darrell Taylor was like a top 50 NFL prospect.
He's waiting in the weeds.
And how does Bryce Thompson not even make third team?
That's what I don't get.
At least third team, in my opinion.
I don't know. I'm looking at these. Wait. No. Hang on. Yeah, that's third team defense.
So we have a second team kick returner?
That we were kind of hoping wouldn't even return kicks. Yeah. That's it.
All right.
And Tennessee.
I like it, though. I like that we're sneaking around the chicken coop.
Tennessee picked fifth in the East.
But they did get a first-place vote.
A&M
did not get a first-place vote. How about that? We were right behind South Carolina, though. We were right. We almost snuck into that fourth spot where I had us slotted. So close. So close to being fourth. So no first, second, or third team outside of special teams.
Right.
Picked fifth in the East.
Yep.
But almost fourth. Sleeper.
I didn't see the numbers. I thought somebody said we almost finished sixth. That Kentucky almost passed us.
It was both.
It was really close, three of those teams.
It's a log jam there in the 4, 5, and 6 Alrighty. Spot. Log jam.
Yeah, but someone picked Tennessee to win
the whole
not
thing.
Only the SEC
the
East.
The whole kit and caboodle.
But the entire SEC.
I'd love to know who it was and buy them a shot of Malort.
I was going to throw out some guesses, but I'll refrain. people that might pick Tennessee to win the whole
thing. It was actually, never mind. It was Mike Griffith. He forgot that Butch got fired and he picked Tennessee to win the whole thing.
Oh, Missouri gosh. Got three first place.
I don't know how that makes sense considering they can't win it. But, I mean, I guess you can finish first. But if you got picked to finish first, that actually means you get picked to win the whole thing, and they are not eligible.
That is, when they put the first place votes in parentheses,
that's to win the whole thing. Yes. That's to win the SEC championship, which they are not even eligible to win right now.
So somebody picked Kentucky to win the whole SEC championship.
Matt Jones.
How did he brag about it?
No, I'm just guessing.
Oh, okay.
He also got kicked off of his TV show, Hey Kentucky, because he doesn't know if he's going to run for U.S. Senate or not. Tough weekend for
Matt Jones. Why'd he get kicked
Matt
off?
Jones.
Why does...
I don't know. Maybe it's a conflict of interest. I'm not sure. I really have no idea. I did think it was kind of funny, though. So basically, everyone's sleeping on the Vols.
Yep.
It was Georgia and Alabama last year were the 1 and 2 picks, correct? So last year was the first year in the last 10 that the media picked correctly who would play for the SEC championship.
Yeah, they've only gotten the champion right like 3 out of the last 10 years, and it's been Alabama every time.
Correct.
But they've gotten it right.
I think that's the first time in the last 10 they've gotten the
number ones.
And so Georgia and Alabama, obviously, your pick again. And Bama was the favorite to win it.
Yeah, here's the West. Alabama, LSU, Texas A&M, then Auburn, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Arkansas.
Ole Miss, Arkansas, obviously did not get a first place vote, as in to win the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Neither did Texas A&M. But Mississippi State, LSU, Alabama.
LSU got five.
I mean, I'm okay with that.
Auburn, Mississippi State got one each.
Correct. As many as Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see that. You know, when I went in 2015,
yeah,
I was kind of high on Tennessee in 15. I actually picked them to win the East and the whole thing. And they were good enough to do it. And then I did it again in 16, I think. I think I went in 16. Picked them again. Should have won it. Should have won at least, you know, the East. Didn't feel bad about those picks. But picking Tennessee to, I mean, that's a sneaky good pick, though. Great value on the on the gamble, you know, Tennessee winning the East and the whole thing.
Remember the Missouri tight end we wanted to get?
Okumbakwe?
First team.
Yeah, he's maybe the best tight end of the country.
Too bad we couldn't.
Until Dom Wood Anderson shows up on the scene in the Jim Chaney offense and just runs runs the show in the Southeastern Conference behind, you know, the amazing arm and talents of Jarrett Garantano. Pruitt believes in Garantano, guys. He's a guy I believe in.
It's hard to argue any Vol should have been first team, in my opinion. However, is there anyone looking down this list on, like, the second team or third team that you think maybe, like, Ty Chandler would have had an argument for third team? Juwan Jennings, Marquez Callaway, I know he got a specialist, but maybe even, like, you brought it up, Nate, Jarrell Taylor.
I can't make a case for any of our guys on offense. That's just a fact. Offense sucked last year. I hope at the end of the year that, you know, that'll be different. But, I mean, I'm looking at the third-team skill guys on offense. Like, yeah, makes sense. I mean, the wide receivers, Justin Jefferson and Bryan Edwards, and those are your third-team wide receivers. So I can see why people wouldn't vote. I mean, really, this is a
– Where's that list? What are you looking at?
I'm on AL.com.
Okay.
They had the full everything.
I just hadn't seen it yet.
Yeah. So, it's kind of a preseason list. They're almost like an award from the previous year in a way, you know?
Agree.
I mean, obviously there's some hype to different people, different players that'll get picked. But, I mean, it makes sense. Tennessee's offense was so bad last year, it makes sense that people would just not want to take a risk on projecting a massive improvement. And what I've just by looking down through the list of players on offense and defense, the thing that just jumps out to me is that the SEC is just loaded. I mean, it's just the way it is. Like, some of these guys are on second, third team. I'm like, holy cow, yeah, he was really good last year. Oh yeah, that guy's really good. Oh, and he's good too. So that's just the way it is. The third team. Oh no, that's not right. Okay, so I do think on defense, though, I was a little surprised that Tennessee didn't, because like I don't recognize some of the guys on the third team defense. So I would think Jarrell Taylor, Bryce Thompson, those guys could have had a shot for, but you know that's what happens when you're not near the top of the conference. The mass media, they just, like, you just don't matter. So they don't watch your games. Yep. They don't learn your players. That's the other thing. It's kind of a popularity contest.
Agree.
These teams. So, you know, if there's a guy that, the defensive backs on the third team are from Missouri, Alabama, Georgia, and Auburn. I mean, guys from Alabama and Georgia are going to be a lot more well-known than guys from Tennessee. Right now,
it is weird though that Taylor and Thompson had such good years. I mean, not only is it a popularity contest, I'm sure seniority plays into this also. So I guess maybe it makes sense that your two, you know, returning true sophomores wouldn't be as. They're not going to get the nod over a junior or a senior who's been pretty good for a while just because of one season. Whereas I think at the end of the year, if they continue to prove how good they were last year and maybe get a little bit more help. You could see those guys get some credit.
Yeah,
I think Jarrell Taylor makes one of the top three teams by the end of the season. Did we get an official sack count for him last year? Because at one point they said it was 7 in 2 games, and now I'm hearing there may be an 8th or a 9th in 3 games. Like, Pruitt said 9. Someone else said 8. I thought it was 7. I thought it was 4 against Kentucky and 3 against Georgia. But I think at the end of the year, Darrell Taylor's going to be on one of these lists. I think one of Thompson and Taylor will be on the list as far as 1 through 3. Tennessee really needs to get a linebacker on this list if this season's not going to be just a total disaster.
So you said 3 against Georgia, 4 against Kentucky.
Yes.
And there was 1 against Vandy is what I remember.
Gotcha. I don't remember that one. But I also may have turned that game off early. Because it was a nightmare.
UT has him 8 sacks for 54 yards lost.
Yeah. 8 sacks. I mean, it's pretty good in 3 games, you know? I mean, if he could equal that type of production, we're talking 32 sacks this season. Would that be MVP, guys, you think? 32 sacks?
I would give it to you.
That'd
yes.
be pretty good.
Maybe we need to go ahead and set the parameters for Tennessee MVP. You know, like if my player does this, they get the nod for sure. Like if Darrell Taylor has 12 sacks, you guys just bend the knee and say, yep, regardless of what anyone else did, he had 12 sacks. If Bryce Thompson has 5 interceptions, oh, game over. He's your MVP.
What if Taylor has 12 sacks and Thompson has 5 interceptions?
Then we go to our second candidate, and then it becomes team strength. So then it would become how many tackles did Nigel Warrior have versus how many tackles did – who's your other guy?
You know who it is.
Henry Toa Toa.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you did it.
You know, if he doesn't transfer. Since you picked him to start and he's transferring. He's not really transferring. It was just a joke, inside joke. So what do you think about the C.J. Faiton no longer going to be VFL coordinator news? Is that worrisome?
How was he? I mean, I know Butch ran the guy before that off. What was his name? I'm blanking. Anyway,
I'll get it.
That's the big guy, former player. Yelled at people to stay off the baseball.
One Biggest Loser.
Quit spying on the practice.
Davis, no, that was right? That last was Condridge Holloway. And yeah.
Oh yeah, sorry. Well, Holloway's he is the practice.
Right.
Guru. Davis.
You say? Antone Davis.
Antone. Yeah, Antone. I was like, Davis. It's not Anthony though. Yeah, Antone Davis.
Yeah.
And before that, I can't remember who it was before that.
What was the I'm trying to remember the drama with Antone Davis.
Oh, there was the Butch letter about him and why they relieved him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was leaking news and talking drama right. and all that, which is nonsense. He was probably just like, Butch Jones sucks, guys. We got to get him out of here.
Well, he responded, right? That was the thing.
Yes. Like, he said, no, I did my job to the best of my abilities and didn't stir the pot. But we know Butch Jones is a liar and an imbecile, so I'm going to side with Antone on this one. But C.J. Faiton, that's kind of strange. I don't know what goes into being the VFL coordinator. I don't know if that's like a very difficult job or maybe just a boring job. I don't know if C.J. Faiton didn't like it or liked it, resigned on his own accord, was asked to resign. Jeremy Pruitt talked about the Vols for Life program at the SEC Media Days, kind of mentioned it. I don't know. Is Vol for Life and Vols for Life two different things? Or like is it the VFL program, but Vols for Life is like the focus inside that program?
I think it's all the same thing.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure Faiton has a law degree.
Maybe he wanted to go be an attorney. Okay. Good for him. So Tennessee's now looking for their fourth VFL coordinator. Who do we want? Does it matter? But B, like who embodies Vol for Life? Who should that be a fan? Just kidding, of course.
Nick Revesz.
Okay. So you want like a walk on, like it maybe meant a little bit more to somebody.
In state guy.
In state. What about like Big Al Wilson?
Would he do it though?
I just said no one's off the table here.
Okay.
Maybe Peyton's off the table. I'll take Peyton off the table.
I was also trying to think of guys that would actually do it.
That would actually do it? Man, maybe Nick Revesz. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know anybody.
I don't know. I don't know what they do.
Leonard Little.
Ah, love Leonard Little. You're not getting him out of Charlotte, though, man. He's not moving back here. He loves North Carolina. Big North Carolina guy. And just a hell of a guy all around.
The scariest, I think John Henderson would get the players.
He retired from the NFL, and I haven't even heard about him lately. Hope he's okay.
Hit me in the face. You seen those videos?
Hit me harder, baby. You gotta wake me up. Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm talking about, Jimmy. Yeah, baby. It's a scary, scary, scary man.
Yeah, I don't know what
wasn't Fayton hired like last year?
May of 2018, I believe. I was looking
for... Is that demanding, or is it just that boring and you don't get paid enough?
He got his law degree.
He just got it?
I'm pretty sure he's working on it.
While he was doing that? Oh, okay.
So it's like a GA thing? Like they just put somebody there who's on campus anyway? Hey, you're on campus anyway. Do you mind running this for us?
Well, didn't Antone say, yeah, you don't get paid really well doing this, so it's not that great of a gig, and then Fayton's doing it and going to law school? So I'm a little torn on what the responsibilities are. I'm sure the head coach would have, you know, who the head coach is would have some influence on what your roles are and your jobs are. But is it okay that it's a rotating door for the VFL coordinator? Was Kevin Simon in that position at some point?
What about Herman Lathers? He's still in Knoxville, right?
Herman. That was my Uber driver's name on Saturday night. Hell of a guy. Herman in Chicago. 5 kids. We said, Herman, we're going to give you 5 stars. He said, oh, good. I can feed my kids with that. I was like, oh, Herman.
Took him 6 months to hire Fayton after Davis resigned. So you got some time.
Yeah, I guess so. It's a very important position, this coordinator role that we have no idea what they do. Just, I don't know, it's just weird. It's always weird to me when former players get a job within the program and then it doesn't work out. Like when Jay Graham left or got fired by Butch Jones and we brought in Gillespie. Like, it's going to be very weird to me if T. Martin, for whatever reason, doesn't work out. It was weird to me when Antone Davis didn't work out.
Like, Andre Lott was back in 2012, something about him resigning.
Okay. Andre Lott, former Tennessee safety. Okay. Maybe it's just a really demanding position. Maybe it's good to get new ideas and faces in the role. Maybe high turnover is good in that spot. I don't know. I have no idea. Very, very strange. But anyway, that's Tennessee's. We're on the fourth now. We're looking for the fourth VFL coordinator in the last 7 years.
All right. Well, there you go.
Yeah, I really don't know what to make of that.
Well, Pro Football Focus has come out with another stat that really makes Billy's guy, Jared Garantano, look good. Tell you about
so that. So they're back in on JG, huh?
All in.
Nobody has been more pro JG than PFF. It's ridiculous.
I'm going to have to call my boy Jeff and be like, buddy.
Buddy.
What are y'all doing over there? You got Tennessee fans just
foaming at the mouth.
There's vol-on-vol crime over these stats, especially this one. I can't wait to share this one. We'll come back with that next. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. This segment brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of 3 and Out. As you know, our own Davey Hudson, former 12-week challenge winner at Gold's Gym. It absolutely changed his life to have a place to work out and stay accountable at Gold's Gym. And you can try it for free with the free 3-day VIP pass at goldsgym.com. Just head on over to the website and you can download it and try Gold's Gym before you join. We got a killer JG stat coming at you. But first, it's Davey Hudson with today's Gold's Gym Fitness Tip of the Day.
For today's Gold's Gym Fitness Tip of the Day, I wanted to talk to you about understanding the basics of building muscle. If you talk to any personal trainer, they're going to tell you there are certain muscle building basics. First and foremost, you're going to have to increase your calorie and complete protein intake. This way your body has enough building blocks to get bigger. Then when you enter the gym, focus on your form. Perform compound movements and train with weights on average around 4 times a week. Never underestimate the importance of rest. Remember, muscle tissue grows outside of the gym when you're giving your body time to relax and recover following your workouts. And that is today's Gold's Gym Fitness Tip of the Day.
There you go. There's Davey Hudson's Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. So, Pro Football Focus. Just dropping another statistic on us that has Jarrett Garantano leading the conference. This is SEC,
Billy's guy.
SEC quarterbacks, minimum of 175 dropbacks. Fewest turnover-worthy plays. Jarrett Garantano leads with only 4 from last season. Jake Fromm is second.
What?
4.
Four turnover-worthy plays. Mm-hmm. How many turnovers did he have last year? 4 interceptions, right?
He had 3 interceptions last year.
Well, only 3?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess are fumbles not, unless you scramble and get hit, they're not turnover-worthy plays for a quarterback?
I guess not. We'll have to get more information from Pro Football Focus, but the first reply I saw was, didn't he have about 4 against Florida?
Well, the intercepted screen pass wasn't really his fault.
It wasn't?
No, it got batted. Thought
I might be thinking of a different. How many picks did he throw in that game?
2.
I'm thinking of a different
2
one.
Maybe.
It got batted.
Huh. I have a description.
Oh, you do?
For ready. Also, the article that I looked at a long time ago when we were talking about big time throws from Jarrett Garantano, because he had a pretty good number with that, too.
Second highest in the conference.
Yeah, it has a chart of, like, turnover-worthy versus big-time throws, so it kind of just goes in hand-to-hand. What is a turnover-worthy play? For quarterbacks, there are 2 ways to achieve a turnover-worthy play.
2?
Throw a pass that has a high percentage chance to be intercepted, or do a poor job of taking care of the ball and fumbling. So let's start with the coulda, shoulda, woulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda interceptions. So that's talking about there's different levels of turnover plays. Not all interceptions or fumbles are turnover worthy. Like there's
interesting.
I'd have to.
So turning it over is not always worthy of a turnover. Just putting it together.
All right. Garantano had 246 attempts last year, so he was well over the minimum dropbacks of 175. Threw for 1,900 yards, 12 touchdowns, 3. He's only thrown 5 picks in, you know.
So you would get the same bad grade for misreading coverage and firing a pass to the linebacker, whether he catches it for an interception or not.
That makes sense. I mean, that's the way they try and grade the NFL guys.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
If I drop back and throw an out route right to the corner and he drops it, I'm still getting a minus 2.
Yeah, you're getting the
whatever.
Interception grade.
Yeah.
So nobody makes more big-time throws or has an advanced QBR while protecting the ball like Jarrett Garantano.
That's what they're saying.
Billy, this is why I wanted quarterbacks off the list.
Because he's too good.
No, because it's just easier for quarterbacks to not be blamed.
You want me to pick a different player?
Did we decide who was
no, we
the
have
offensive
to redraft.
MVP from last year?
I think we went with Ty Chandler. I think.
Or did we say if we have another year like last year, we just no one wins?
Yes, no one wins, including the Vols ever.
Yeah, I think that's what we'd have to do.
Because, well,
I mean, I don't want JG to have another year like he did last year and Billy over there claiming victory because, well, he only threw 3 interceptions. He had more big-time throws.
I wonder who Pro Football Focus considers Tennessee's offensive MVP last year.
I have a guess.
Jarrett Garantano.
That's right. Jarrett Garantano, though, way up there. You know, only 4 turnover-worthy plays. Jake Fromm, 8. Terry Wilson, 11. Felipe Franks and Tua Tagovailoa, 12 apiece. I mean, Jarrett Garantano is 3 times less likely to have a turnover-worthy play than Tua.
I'm surprised.
How about
Nick
that?
Saban hasn't already tried to trade for him. I mean, he said he wants every possession in with a kick. I mean, you
Tua,
get a lot
just
of,
get him out of here.
You get a lot of punts out of guys that take care of the ball like Jerry Garantano.
Yeah, we did. We got a lot of those punts.
I mean, don't you need some turnover-worthy passes if you're taking some chances to make some big plays?
Well, in fairness to that point, it says not all interceptions are turnover-worthy. So, like, even if it was, like, deflected and it was more the receivers, like, this little paragraph says, like, even if it's the receiver runs the wrong route and they know just by looking at film that that's not how the play was supposed to break down, that they would not consider that a turnover-worthy play for the quarterback.
All right. I'm okay. I'm good with that. Sure. I mean, it makes sense.
I actually kind of buy all these stats. It doesn't. I don't buy the. Well, he's leading all these stats, so he's the best quarterback.
I mean, but you buy into them, but you don't.
But I buy into the fact that he, you know, takes care of the ball
and makes big time throws, and has a great QBR. Higher than Justin Herbert.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that one.
He's better quarterback than the number one draft pick. So,
wait, what? Who did that QBR? Was that Pro Football Focus?
Yeah. Your guys. PFF might be 1 through 5 on the your guy list for Hodges. Feels like a lot of pressure stacking up on JG.
So this same article in 2017 had a breakdown of all NFL quarterbacks with the big time throw percentage and the turnover worthy percentage.
Yeah. Who was the best?
Jerick Garantano.
It's NFL.
No, I know. It was his. I'm sure he had like the ratio.
Well, it doesn't break it down like that. It just has a chart of like each quarterback.
Oh yeah.
So when you
love those dark charts,
So when you consider big time throw ratio with a high turnover worthy percentage, like in the safe margin, uh-huh. You get a Drew Brees, Alex Smith, Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, Tyrod Taylor top of quarterback.
Jerick Garantano. Also Jerick Garantano.
No, I mean, I buy these stats, but I think you also have to buy the stats where he threw for 1,900 yards and some of these other quarterbacks threw for a whole lot more.
Well, but the attempts.
A whole lot more touchdowns.
But the attempts. It's all about the attempts, man. Jerick Garantano he was not unleashed.
I don't think anybody disagrees that if, you know, the running game was better and they got more first downs, he could.
Or if they just called more plays for him to pass it.
And for the touchdowns, I'd like to see how many times Garantano was throwing the ball on his side of the field compared to other quarterbacks that was throwing the ball on the opponent's side of the field. Because it's easier to score a touchdown from 30 yards out than it is from 70.
Well, yeah, I saw an article recently about all of the possessions in college football last year and where touchdown drives start.
Oh, yeah, that was interesting.
We should probably take a look at that because that I felt like was a really big issue for Tennessee last year was field position. I don't remember a game really, maybe Auburn, that Tennessee won the field position battle. Felt like Tennessee was always starting inside their 20 and always had the opponents around their 30, 40-ish. It's just tough to overcome that for the duration of a game. I mean, that's how Tennessee has won countless games over the last two decades. And really games you weren't supposed to win. But when you look at, you know, South Carolina 2013, I think is probably the prime example. You just kept putting Connor Shaw and the South Carolina offense backed up inside their 10. It puts so much pressure on the play caller for the opposing team. You get a lot of conservative play calls. I'm sure Tennessee was victim of that when they had horrible field position. And then eventually, as I said, you're not moving the ball because you're calling conservative plays. You punt it back to the other team. They start at midfield. You give up a touchdown, and then the dam cracks, the dam breaks, the dam pummels into the river, and you're flooded with touchdowns from the other team. And you're getting whacked by Missouri, Vanderbilt, Georgia, Alabama, so on and so forth. Field position, big deal.
Which one of you brought up the fumbles against Florida?
We just mentioned it, yeah.
This says the same article goes into saying that sometimes fumbles won't be considered the quarterback's fault. However, fumbles in which the quarterback has a clear chance to avoid the ball coming free will result in a heavy downgrade with the turnover-worthy percentage play category. Even if it's recovered by the quarterback, just putting it in harm's way alone will have a downgraded turnover-worthy percentage. So yeah. I would imagine some of those fumbles against Florida, they counted off for protection purposes instead of Garantano's fault.
ESPN. That's tough, too, though, because he has – well, maybe last year he didn't, but this year he'll have the option to adjust those protections. So do we now say that it would be his fault?
Right. No, you can make you definitely can make that argument.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way they do the stats, they would say no, but I'm with you. I mean, there was the one where they had like seven guys in a block and the tight end and the back both missed a guy. I don't know if that was a fumble. That might have just been a sack. And that might but I mean, you look at ESPN's quarterback rating numbers they used from last year, Garantano was eighth in the conference. I mean, this seems pretty much the way you would have ranked the quarterbacks. Well, maybe not. The middle gets kind of tough. But they have Tua, number one, then Fromm, then Tamu, who was really, really good for Ole Miss, then Drew Lock. Then the middle's kind of – these next three are all – the next four, actually, are all really close. Jake Bentley, Kyle Shermer, Felipe Franks, and Jarrett Garantano. And then Jarrett Stidham and Kellen Mond are actually after that. Of course, Kellen Mond, his completion percentage is a good bit lower than everybody else's. But he was more dangerous with his legs. This is just for passing. Terry Wilson, Joe Burrow was 12th. That's kind of a big question mark for me. You know, LSU and Media Days, they're talking up Joe Burrow, talking up this offense and everything. Like, really, he was not great. I mean, his yards per attempt were lower than Jarrett Garantano. His completion percentage was really low. It's going to be a big, big question mark if LSU is going to win the whole conference like those five people voted them to do.
J.G. Heisman?
We'll come back. Final
segment. No, but is that what you're saying?
Hour number two.
J.T. Dirty Birdie says, is that what's going to happen? J.G. win the Heisman? We got four senior receivers.
Welcome back. Final segment, hour number two. Talking a little Jarrett Garantano. He didn't make first, second, or third team either.
Yet.
No one did. Tennessee.
Waiting on the postseason votes to come in. Mm-hmm. You know, in New York for the Heisman.
I mean, you know, I've done the whole fantasy football thing for forever, and stats, just one stat especially, never going to tell you everything. I think a lot of this Garantano stats tell us what we already know, that he wasn't given an opportunity to be good or bad last year, really. Because this offense, like, we saw the metrics where it had, like, kind of the – it's like the diagram that expands out showing you, like, how good you are, where you rank. And the Tennessee run game was just, I mean, one of the worst in the country.
Highest stuff rate. We won that one.
So, when you don't get first downs, your quarterback doesn't put the ball in harm's way very much. I mean, it's pretty easy. Garantano was 11th in the league last year in passing yardage. But Houston's also right. Like, not many attempts either. In attempts, he was 14th. There are 14 teams in the league.
Mm. Last year, worth noting, in the official pass efficiency rating, not the Pro Football Focus, you know, that counts drops, and
yeah,
he finished 45th nationally. Three spots behind Jake Browning of Washington, five spots behind Felipe Franks of Florida, one spot ahead of Adrian Martinez of Nebraska. So, there you go. The top five were Tua, Kyler Murray, Will Greer, Dwayne Haskins, and Jake Fromm. They were at 199, 199, 175, 174, 171, respectively. Jerick Garantano finished 141. Again, that's 45th nationally. If you're looking for some comparison, Trevor Lawrence, 157. So he was only, you know, 16 points behind Trevor Lawrence, but 60 points behind Tua Tagovailoa.
I mean, even if I give Jerick Garantano, Keller Chris, 51 attempts, I mean, he's still 11th in the league in passing attempts. So
what, I mean, yeah, so like, what does Tennessee's offense do this year? I mean, obviously, we know that this kind of depends on Will Friend and his group, right? But if you're Jim Chaney, you're an intelligent offensive coordinator. You have a quarterback who statistically is maybe not great, but if you look at advanced analytics, which Tennessee does, David Ubbin just released a really good article on The Athletic talking about all the advanced analytical study and data that Tennessee, you know, does and digests. If you're Jim Chaney, what's your move this year for Jerick Garantano and the Tennessee offense? What will be your bread and butter if you're Jim Chaney, based on what you have? Four senior receivers, a big, fast tight end, a collection of running backs with different skill sets, and an offensive line who we will not know what to expect until we see it on the field.
I mean, for me, it's the mid-range passing game.
Which is what we thought we were going to get with Tyson Helton, in fairness.
For me, it's passes 5 to 9 yards down the field.
Okay.
Like, it's spread. I would spread defenses out. I think
is that a good idea, though? Because you don't have a lot of guys with after the catch ability. But you're just saying, let's move the change. Like
I think I got a lot of guys that can play some basketball. I don't
disagree with you.
You know, if you put it on the right shoulder for him, he can kind of box out guys. Callaway is good in the air.
So are you saying
Juwan Jennings,
a mix of what we saw against Auburn and South Carolina? Or was the South Carolina game even too quick for
I think that was even a little dinkier, but yeah.
So it was basically deep shots against Auburn.
Yeah.
It was super short. Long. Yeah, it was super short stuff on first and second down against South Carolina. So you're saying let's mix up some defenders, like let's go crossing routes, let's go, you know, slants, drags, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't hate it. I think just you got curious. Take your shot, you know, with a deep go to Palmer or out and up to Callaway and in and up type of stuff. I'm okay with that.
I think if you spread the field with those receivers and your tight end, it takes guys farther away from the box. So if the defense is then going to walk safeties down or try and bring a corner off the slot, if they try and stack the box, it'll be easier to recognize, first of all. And if you spread the field with multiple receivers, you know, to each side, it's going to force either them to play some single coverage somewhere or to have to keep both safeties, you know, essentially playing back, which if they walk a guy down and it's hard to run the ball, well, now you have single coverage somewhere. So that gives you the ability to take a shot without your pass protection having to hold up through like a double move. Like, if it's single coverage, you can just run a go or fade and just take a shot.
With these guys, yeah, I think so. Like there's really no need to,
no, I'm just saying,
to doll it up.
Yeah, it wasn't a question. Like, it's just a fact. Yeah, exactly. If it's two deep safeties, okay. Well, now I've got the look I want to try and establish the run game. Last year, Tennessee just ran the ball into a brick wall. They ran the ball into a stacked box constantly. And it seemed like their philosophy was, we'll just put another blocker in there. Just make sure we got the numbers in the box. It's like, okay, yeah, you're even in the box. but you're outmanned at almost every position. What I mean by that is, like, the Florida defender taking on your offensive lineman is better than that offensive lineman at almost every spot. So that just added up to stuffs, and the advanced analytics bear that out. So spread the field. Use these guys in the mid-range passing game. And Garantano's old enough and mature enough now to where I feel like he can identify a matchup pre-snap and then make the read after and get the ball to the right person.
My only concern with this is you're putting a lot of pressure on stringing together a lot of plays.
Yeah.
And we know with this offensive line last year, that was next to impossible. I mean, it was like negative, negative, positive. Negative, 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 punt. Negative, negative, positive. Negative, punt, punt. You know, by going that 5 to 9 yard route, if you will, I just worry that are you going to have enough big plays to be explosive? Like, I think this team is going to have explosive plays. I don't know if we have anybody who can take those 5 and 9s and turn them into 20-plus. Unless, you know, Jim Chaney just develops these amazing combinations that do get people, you know, running free on the crossing route, on the drag, on the slant, on the out. That's my only fear. I feel like you're putting a lot of pressure on the offensive line, on Jarrett Garantano and these receivers, that, hey, we're going to have to complete, you know, 5 to 7 balls of possession to move it down the field and get in field goal range. Then we're going to have to work on, you know, scoring in the red zone. What was Tennessee's red zone efficiency last year? Is this a team right now that we feel like we can trust in the red zone?
I'm sure it was awful, because when you can't run the football, the red zone becomes really, really tough. Because in a shrunken field, you need to be able to just line up and kind of, you know, fall forward and pound people.
Right.
And they were terrible at that.
Tennessee was actually 28th in the country last year in red zone efficiency, scoring on 88% of their trips to the red zone. In fairness, they were only there 34 times. They scored 9 touchdowns, 8 field goals. I'm sorry. Let me get this correct. 13 touchdowns on the ground, 9 touchdowns passing. So 9 of his 12 touchdown passes were in the red zone last year. Or Tennessee's. I don't know how many Chris threw. I'll have to go back and check that number. But of 34 trips to the red zone, I mean, 22 touchdowns? That's not bad. It's not terrible. The problem was, again, you only got there, you know.
And some of those stats can skew, too, because when you're a bad team, you don't get to the red zone against good teams. You get in the red zone against the really bad teams, and therefore you score.
Tennessee, nationally, do you want to know how many, like, where they finished nationally among, like, for red zone attempts?
Yeah.
You do want to know?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Because I don't know that I want to, I don't know that I really want to say it.
We got 30 seconds, so make a call.
They were 126th.
How many teams are there right now? 32? 132? 129?
According to NCAA.com.
129.
Yeah, 129.